Welcome to the Perspectives with Catherine Toon podcast.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. One of the joys that I get to do is I get to meet new friends that feel like you've known them a long time. And so it's such a joy. And welcome, Jeremy Wood. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, Catherine, for having me on. I'm really excited about this.
I can feel your excitement, and that is so exciting. I think Holy Spirit's excited. You know, we've been kind of following on social media some and all of that, and I was really impressed by the depth of how you engage with God to help the body sort of be better and to be better yourself. So welcome. I'm really excited. So I thought I'd start, in case people do not know you, by reading your bio, which I thought was delightful. And you know, it's not often you get a delightful bio. So a lot of your personality and heart comes through. So Jeremy is a husband, father, author, and most importantly, head over heels in love with Jesus and the authentic gospel. Currently residing in Southern California with his wife, Shauna, and their three daughters. And I if I don't pronounce these, I was actually even practicing Anika.
Anika? Anika? Ziona?
I'm sorry, baby. I missed your name. I messed with your name. Ziona and Lazara. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Lazara. You're close.
Lazara. You know, it's where you pronounce where you emphasize the consonant, but those are gorgeous. He is currently pioneering a local organic community, as well as hosting ongoing conversations around the country about rediscovering the gospel. He has written two books, including Thriving in the Gap and A Life Redefined. He is currently working on his third book, Western Christianity Reexamined. Jeremy carries a pastor's heart, an exploratory theological mind, and a reformer's passion, and a stand-up comics wit. I love that. His life is simply marked by the faithfulness of Jesus, who has brought him out of a system of religion, instability, and mental illness into the gospel of face-to-face, which always manifests in wholeness. Oh my goodness, this is so good. So that's awesome. As I said, I just love the bio. There's so much in there. So Jeremy, you share with us a little bit about your journey. Sounds like you've gone through some stuff. And yeah. Whatever you want to share about that would be great.
Yeah, well, and I, you know, one of my core values is just authenticity, absolute vulnerability, and then sometimes that even express itself in some rawness. So just buckle up for that. But basically...
Buckle. Everybody buckle. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I grew up in a pastor's family. My dad was up and coming in the 90s pastor of a denomination called Open Bible. A denomination out of the Midwest. And so I got front row seats of ministry early on, really had a tender heart towards the Lord. And then through a series of events, my dad had some mental breakdowns type stuff, which kind of catapulted our family into a day of chaos, really. And I took on some of those mental health characteristics while, you know, I made it through my teen years after, you know, being in the system, juvenile system. And it was just really related to, you know, trauma in my family and, you know, And so made it to 18, got a really good job at Costco. Was able to move out when I was 17, actually. So I started life, I made it, I'm here. Woohoo. And then as I continued, it was this duplicity thing because on one hand I had just such a genuine heart to follow Jesus, and at the same time had this mental health stuff that then included addiction to alcohol, and that's primarily, was the surface addiction, but really went through my 20s and my early 30s of kind of like in a jokingly way, but not really joking, mental health, psych ward, jail, ministry school. We have ministry school, psych ward. I mean, and that pretty much characterizes my 20s. And then so much so that I did a tour in Redding, California, and about after a decade of this type cycle, I'm like, oh, I'm going to Bethel, this is it, and I love that community. I have nothing ill against Bill. I love Bill Johnson. I love his integrity. I always speak very highly of him and his ministry. But for me, I now had this history plus gifting and a ton of immaturity. And those two things don't mix well. And so, even in my time at BSSM, I jokingly say I was prophet by day and alcoholic by night. And so after that season ended, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to this real kind of low spot, where I'm like, because that was it for me. Like when I landed in Bethel, this is it. This
The
is
high
my
water
last
mark,
stop.
right?
Yeah, this is, I call it the charismatic Mecca. I got to Mecca. This is where it's gonna happen. And I had some great experiences there, but it just was, it actually it fueled the cycle. It didn't help it. And so with that, fast forward about a year, I got back to Washington, and I was living in the basement of a church. Really just kind of, I don't even know where to go from here. I spent the first 6 months, I worked for a fishing guide and then took care of the facilities at the church. And I'm just like, I just don't know. So while I was there, I ran into a man named Damon Thompson. And the first time I heard him speaking about the wonder and the mystery of childlikeness, like, heart just like it popped something out open, like I've never heard, And then as I'm listening, this guy's always crying. What's the deal, man? And so in that season, right before I met my wife, that's when I started putting on this William Wallace blue face paint, like, let's go against religion. And it's like, I felt like in that season, the Lord was like, Hold up, cowboy. We gotta deal with your fantasy first before you can deal with anyone else's. And
Always nabs us first. It's just a thing. Okay, keep going.
well, and then the funny part of that is right after I had kind of that encounter with the Lord and we had that conversation, here comes my wife, who, her testimony is way better than mine. I mean, it is like 12-year heroin addiction on Skid Row, wasn't gonna make it to 30, and now she is one of the most intelligent, owns her own business. I mean, transformed
Wow.
day and night by the power of Jesus. So, anyways, when we met, it happened really quick. She knew before I did, which was in like within 2 weeks. And I don't use this as marriage counseling. Do not do what we did, but we were led by the Spirit. And so we instantly got married, and then the Lord really used her to just shatter all of my religious boxes, because she'd get stuff right away, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
He's a
And
smart
now
cookie.
come to
That's
find
awesome.
out, like, and we entered this marriage with like, I'm the Bible guy, I'm gonna teach you. And the Lord flipped the script almost from day one,
That is funny.
and
Oh my gosh.
it's so funny because I feel like this is important. Shortly after we were married, we got in a conflict, and I went outside, and I was really mad because I'm like, God, she's not submitting. She will not submit to me. And she's like, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, well, yeah, because she doesn't have anybody to model that to. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, it's your job to submit to her first. And so she knows what that looks like. And I was like, I've never heard that before in a male-dominated,
Submit to one
religion.
another
And
in love. It's the thing.
well, and so that's really characterized. So we were living in Washington, long story short, we came down to Southern California to take care of her mom. Well, actually, we weren't planning on taking care of her mom. We were just visiting for Christmas. And then the Holy Spirit kind of flipped the script. And before you know it, here he is. The one place I always told myself I would not live,
Of
he
course.
slammed right in the middle of it. And yeah, so when we moved down here, we joined the church, and it's a great, amazing place. I'm really glad that we were there for a season. And while we were there, I started asking some real provocative questions. And then, yeah, about 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago, kind of like what Jason said, the two most transformational things that have happened to me in the last 3 years. Hold on. As I stopped reading my Bible and I left my church. And then that was the palette, the loop the Lord used to just, yeah. So, and for about
God
six.
actually led you to stop reading your Bible and stop going to church. Let God be
Yeah.
true, every man a liar. So yes, keep going. This is
Yeah, well, and when I tell people that, they're like, and what's funny is The only person that can witness to the transformation of me making those two decisions is my wife.
Yes. Well, our spouses can let, yeah, they know us because the masks come off. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and I've in the last this last year, as we were talking before we started recording, I really have this tender thing in my heart towards the Western Church and Western Christianity, and even my due north that I was feeling a word that the Lord gave me is go after the Nicodemuses.
Oh,
Like,
beautiful.
go after the Pharisee that's asking questions,
Oh, yes.
that comes and finds me in the night.
Wow.
Go after those ones,
Loves those
Kat.
Pharisees. Loves, right? He loves all of us. He
Absolutely.
loves even us where we have Pharisaical stuff.
Absolutely. And that's the real thing I want to make crystal clear is I'm always finding that Pharisee in me. Like
Dang it.
on a good day, my Pharisee's in the ICU.
Yeah.
On a ventilator, but I mean, I don't ever know if it's absolutely possible because one of the things I've discovered this last year is, I'm kind of exploring the waters of universal reconciliation and what might get labeled, some progressive theology. That religious spirit is as strong in
Yeah.
all camps
Yes.
as
Thank
the
you.
evangelical
Thank
camp.
you. Exactly. It's sneaky. Now, for someone who may be new, when you say that Pharisaical spirit or Pharisee, how do you define that? We can go to the Bible and it talks about the Pharisees, but what does that look like? What kind of spirit is that?
Well, for me, it's a couple of things. It's rule-based,
Rule based.
it's obligatory, there's no real relationship, there's another really fine characteristic that I'm fine-tuning in my own work is the religious spirit is superficial. It doesn't know how to be authentic.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's also powered by, if we look in it in a context, it also has this political thing that's
Critical,
attached to
yeah.
it. And I want to share a quote that I heard the other day and it was so good. I mean, it just been vibrating in my soul the last couple of days. And my friend John Mastro Giovanni said this: religion occupies space where revelation does not exist.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And
Good.
we see that even in Jesus' exchange of Pharisees. Here comes the revelation of God himself and religion there because he wasn't.
Wow.
And then he has to go blow that up with his marvelous light.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Wow.
And I think there's a lot, that's a loaded question because and I try to stay away from like analyzing different spirits, but I think one of the things that has really resonated me, to quote Damon Thompson, is religion really has one message: try harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
It's
mean,
never
when you
enough.
boil it,
It's never enough. Yeah,
when
exactly.
you boil it down, religion has one message: try harder. It's not exactly what you said. It's not enough. And so I want to tell you, the listener, even now, open your heart, because I know I still bump into that a lot. Is like, the moment I start, I gotta try harder. It's not enough. It's a witness for me to know, like, hey, I gotta go put my fantasy back in the ICU,
Exactly.
because that voice is loud in my ear, and I have to like metanoia him back to the ICU so he doesn't really have a voice.
Right. And I love that authenticity because this is all of us, right? All of us have this to work this out. That's amazing. Well, keep on going. This is great.
Well, I think another witness too, because one of the things I think with the religious spirit, even in my own life, is it looks outward rather than cultivating a lifestyle where you're looking inward with a no shame, no condemnation policy.
Yes,
But
yes.
it takes a lot of self-reflection to and a constant awareness of, hey, I had to really be careful, because right now my heart is still a little bit has that same leaven of the Pharisee. And a lot of that for me is anytime I am, well, they're doing that, they're doing this.
We're pointing fingers, right?
Yeah, and I was in at lunch with my mentor yesterday, and I asked him a question, and I'm like, well, is there ever a time where using like pointing out the religious spirit and pointing out false doctrine and heresy, like, when is that a valid tool to utilize? Because even in our conversations, I'm trying to become an expert of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
And here's what John said. John was like, well, it's situation by situation, and it's like, is that tool gonna provide and manifest fruit in your audience? Is it fruitful or is it destructive?
Wow.
So I,
Sorry, go ahead. Keep going.
no,
Sorry.
go for it. I
Well,
want to
and
hear.
you think with Jesus, there were times he just didn't behave the same way every time. So there are times when he pointed things out vigorously, and there are times when he just really let things slide because that was not what was supposed to be happening at that time. But always after the heart, always, always after the heart. And that's great. And a lot of times we don't like that because we want to have it nailed down. Okay, give me the criteria. Tell me what to do. Okay, now I'm going to do it. And every time that we have that, we take ourselves out of relationship where we're led, right? Where we're led, the sons of God, the daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. I'm seeing something in front of me that may be a real thing. Do I say something? Do I not? And so every time we start making rules to follow, like a Pharisee, in order, this is when I point it out, this is when I don't, we've just actually come under that whole system and are part of the very thing that probably we're about ready to point the finger at. And so, it's sneaky. It is sneaky. So yeah.
Well, yeah, and you triggered a thought. Another thing that my fantasy loves to this day, if I'm being honest, is formulas. Like, I love my formulas. I love, and the moment that you white knuckle a formula, you pretty much completely take the spirit of God out of the equation, because no longer he's free to do what he wants to do, because now you have now he's handcuffed to play by the rules of your formula that we created. And you know, I think on a large scope, that's where we've gone wrong in most of our theology and our doctrines, is they're all formulated and legalized and not relational.
That's so good. Oh, that is so good. So now you have a lot to say, a lot that you have studied about the Western Church and just the sicknesses that we have in the Western Church. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to broach that and then what the Lord is doing with you as you are grappling with those things now. Just wanted to open that up for you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate
Absolutely.
it because that's actually, I wrote down four adverse effects of Western Christianity. I felt like that might come up. And the first one is, and this is a quote I have, it's easier to study a book that you can read rather than walk with a man you can't see. And you know, I know a lot of guys come on here and folks come on here and talk about, you know, Jesus being the Word. And so I don't want to hit that too hard because we should all kind of be familiar with that concept. But that was a super liberating concept for me. That was like probably the number one biggest thing when I realized, like, oh my goodness, Jesus is the Word of God. He's the inerrant, infallible Word. You know, Hebrew, writer of Hebrews says the exact representation of the Father. And which leads me to the big one for my mental illness history is, and I'm gonna, in the book I'm working on, I'm really gonna go into this in depth, is if I'm beholding a schizophrenic God, and if we become what we behold, then why would I not have mental illness of every kind?
It's true.
So we have a good cop, bad cop dichotomy. And, you know, as I'm going more and more into that, I'm just realizing how, like, you know, and I, you know, my history, I want to be really honest about this. I take full responsibility because it was, you know, bad choice upon bad choice upon bad choice. You know, so I take full responsibility for that. But at the same time, I have a gospel and a God that's schizophrenic. And
That was
I
the one
didn't
that religion taught you. Yeah.
Yes, and I didn't even have a solid place to stand. So the odds were against me from the gate. And most of us, you know, if you've ever can relate to what I'm saying about this, you know, good cop, bad cop, God of the Old Testament smote people, you know, all of the stuff, and then Jesus came to rescue us from his abusive dad. It's like,
Opens you
of
up.
course, I'm
Yes.
gonna struggle with mental illness and addiction. You know, I wanted to ask you this because I'm interested right here because I know you're a doctor. I don't know what kind of MD you are, but as you're working with people in your ministry, how do you navigate that when you're if you deal with people that
Yeah,
have.
well, I do a lot of coaching. I'm retired, so I did internal medicine, but I'm a retired physician. But I do a lot of coaching, so it's about wholeness and how do I navigate people when they are when theologically they've been taught and relating to a God that's actually not even who God is. So the way I really relate to that is I promote encounter with the one who is who he really is. And he's the one, because he's the counselor, is able to start repairing these paradigms that we have, where we see maybe a punishing father, and then Jesus is the whipping boy and all that kind of stuff, and Jesus has got to save us from an angry father. Well, that's not the gospel. But so it's really, and sometimes sometimes you really need to take people back to scriptures that now, what does this really say, and how, what lens do we interpret this through? But usually it's through encounter, because what happens is when we encounter God as he really is, it is intrinsically healing, because we are the one. And I think you said that face-to-face encounter brings wholeness, and that's exactly what it is. So you find out there's no shadow of darkness in God. There's nothing in him that's a punisher. He's not angry. He's not disapproving. He doesn't find you distasteful. He's not freaked out by your sin. But sin is very important, because it hurts you and it hurts other people. But in terms of who you are, he's all about you. So it's just encountering that God that heals, that heals. So I more facilitate encounter with God in when I do coaching and whatever, because he's the healer. He's the brilliant one. He's the counselor. He also knows where we got these crazy notions, because sometimes people may not have been brought up in in Christianity, but they still have this concept of God as this. And so he just meets people where they are at in their story. The toxicity really happens is when we say, okay, now we're going to show you the real God, but then we misrepresent him as a punisher, and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And so that's the extra damage, the extra kicker with religion in Jesus' name, and that does extra damage. That needs to be healed, but the healing's all the same as encountering this person, however that looks like.
Yeah,
So I don't
I
know if
love
I
that.
should say.
Well, absolutely. And I wanted to share this encounter. I know I've written about it a little bit, but this was a real game changer for me. One day I was outside and I was smoking a cigar, minding my own business, listening to the birds, and out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit was like, "Did you know that you will never be closer to me than you are in this moment?" And I freaked out because, no, let's back up to my history. My whole life, I've been genuinely trying to get close to God, and I've epically failed. Try again, that rat race thing. And then I'm like, wait, say that again. And this is what I heard, Catherine. He said, "My presence is transfixed. If I'm same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that also includes my presence. I don't come and go, your awareness does."
Ding, ding,
And
ding, ding. Yes.
like that was mind blowing. And then fast forward a year, I was at a John Crowder conference in Redlands, California, and Saturday morning, I'm on the front row, and he looks me square in the eyes, and he said the same phrase verbatim.
Oh
And
my God, that's awesome.
I lost it. I just, and John Crowder, you can get away with a lot in his services. So I just fell out. Like, I'm just like, I was done. Like, that just hit me like a freight train. And ever since, that really is the due north of every thought I feel the about God,
Nice.
about
This
where I am,
Mm-hmm.
yeah, where I am situationally, you know. And even in the book I'm writing, on the chapters of foundation of processing thoughts, that's the very thing I start with, because I think it is so important that, more than a cliche, I know we know Emmanuel, God with us, it's cute on Christmas, it's awesome on Easter, but so much of that has become a religious cliche
True.
and not a revelatory, game-changing, this is where you start.
Exactly. It's a starting place. It's a starting place, ending place, and everything in between. So there's no, you start from the place of union, of oneness, and which segues so well if you want to go there, but you don't have to, into the problem with Western Christianity starting from separation. Yeah, but keep going.
Yeah, well, I think th when you I think another thing with the whole separation thing is also a thing of, now we're positioned that we're always lacking.
Yeah,
Yet the
right,
Bible
exactly.
says you've been given everything for life and godliness. The same spirit that weighs, this is the doozy for me. The same flipping spirit that raised Christ from the dead has
Yes.
now quickened your mortal body.
Yeah.
But it's, holy smokes, you could study on that for years, Catherine, and get revelation upon revelation, because that one verse should give you so much permission to, I have, no matter what I'm called to do, whether I'm a stay-at-home mom, I run a business, I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, doesn't matter. The same spirit changes the game. And we, in Western Christianity, we, so much of my friends, and even if I'm being honest, I'm still wrapping my brain around that I have literally everything. You know, right
Right.
before, I think right about 6 months ago, it was awesome. We had this intense encounter, me and my wife, you know, and I was in this place where I felt like I needed to be rescued again. And
Okay.
I'm lonely. It's right before I started connecting with everybody on social media, and like, now my relational tank is full. I don't even know what loneliness is anymore. It's been amazing, but I was in this spot where I needed to be rescued, and my wife kind of got this thing, and she's like, no one's coming to rescue you. Like, there's not a man, there's not a ministry. It's all inside of you. And until you tap into that, you are gonna struggle with this for your whole life. And I don't wanna be a part of that.
Yeah.
I need you to tap into what's already in you. And man,
Yes.
it seemed like tough love at the time, but dude,
Sorry.
that was a game changer for me, because I'm like, man. So yeah. I think another for me, Catherine, is I think the one of the really damaging things I see in Western Christianity is the hierarchy and title chasing and platform building. And, I, in my time in the charismatic circles, people would hear me speak and minister, and I would get, "Oh, you're amazing. You're the next real thing." And when God kind of called me into the wilderness, so to speak, he had to murder that in me. And then especially during the Trump and Biden election and COVID, I really had to like put the po because I come from a pretty much dominant prophetic revival culture, and I had to put that all on the table and pretty much like, "Okay, God, what you want to take and destroy off this is game on." Like, and there was a season where I didn't do any ministry. I didn't do any lives. Probably for a year and a half, I was like, there was a good probably 9 months where I'm like, "I'm never gonna talk again. Like, I'm over it. Like, just love me where I'm at in my hole, and I'm over it." And now you see that the Lord's redeeming some of that, but it's effortlessly.
Because it's not a performance, it's not to earn something, it's not to be the thing. It's flowing from that place of you and him, and that's effortless. Oh my goodness, helping us get over ourselves and our need to be whatever, to climb into something or be something or have the plap. And that's sneaky too, because sometimes you can start off really good and then you just sort of get taken away by the titles and the platforms and everybody's adulation and all of that. And it's very, very sneaky. So, but I love that you laid that, you gave that to the Lord, and he gave you back what it was in pure form. So Jeremy could be Jeremy without this, agenda. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think even going forward, this is what really is in my heart, is I'm looking at whether I'm having a phone conversation with my buddy Alan or preaching in a 10,000 person stadium, which, by the way, does not sound fun to me at all. It's all the same. There's no differentiation. I would actually say my conversation with Alan is probably might be more fruitful at this point because that dude has ears to
Oh,
hear, and
pulls
he's
it
gonna
out of
change
you.
the world.
Beautiful.
He's gonna change the world. I'm convinced of it because he's one of my reforming buddies.
There you
So
go.
I no longer look at numbers and that as like a way to place value on something.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's so good. Yeah, that's so
And like you said, here's the sneaky caveat to that.
okay.
Because now God can trust us and we know that, but now we have to maintain the integrity of what we just said
you.
because
Thank
it's
you.
super easy to slip back into that.
It is super easy. We get
I
broadsided.
mean, absolutely. And let me just give you a real life could happen. We get off this podcast. I could get a phone call to go preach in a church in Pennsylvania. And it would be really easy if I don't guard my heart against what we just talked about to just slip right back into that.
Sure. Yes.
And it's not motivated by fear, it's motivated by this sober, like, I've always got to maintain a humility that Christ model.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's really true. That's how God can, you're in a position so that God can exalt you, can promote you, because you're not taken with your own press. You're like, okay, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's so true. And we have to guard against that, because it's really sneaky. That's really beautiful. What else do you want to share?
Well, I think with that, I think I've learned to really like my hiddenness. Like I used to, when I was, before the Lord destroyed this fantasy of doing full-time ministry, being the next hot prophet like John Bowles, fill in the blank, I didn't know how to sit still. And not to give a plug to my book, but
Feel free to give a plug to your book.
in Thriving in the Gap, the last chapter in this
Can you
book.
lift it up a little bit so we can see the title more? So, Thriving in the Gap. Okay, great.
In the last chapter, I talk about, it's called Be Still and Know That I'm God. And I think, I mean, the only reason why I'm here today on this journey is because in my week, I had a weak yes to stillness.
Okay.
And God used that weak yes.
Oh,
And
wow.
even to this day, and stillness isn't inactivity, but when we talk about stillness is a constant posturing of the heart to hear what the Holy Spirit and the Father has to say.
Yeah.
And me and my wife, we're in the thick of things. Three small kids. She runs a small business. I'm in the process of getting another job. I have a little side business hustle that I do. I mean, things are busy, but I constantly am practicing stillness.
Thank you. That's great.
And I love, I personally love the Christian mystics. I'm super, this, that's another kind of, I just want to say this. If you're listening today, and you're right on the border from exiting Western Christianity, the Christian mystics is a great place to start. People like Brother Lawrence and Madame Guyon and Henry Nouwen, they have, there's so many more. Maybe you want to throw out a few that you love. But they really capture the heart of being still in the presence of God, and that's where this starts.
It's so good. It's the place from which everything flows. And it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice in busy, busy. And sometimes, maybe even externally, it may not be busy, but we're busy inside. And so practicing that, and it takes practice, and be encouraged because you're practicing. So that means it's okay. We don't have to make this the next performance where we have to get it. It's just that we're practicing that, and that's where God is. We're finding him in the midst, that he's always there. He always has something to say. He always has something to minister, even without words. And that's practicing that. And none of us, when I arrive, I'll come find you. I'm sure when you arrive, you'll come find me. But we can grow. We can grow in that. We can practice and be really good. It's like, wait a second. Okay, there you are, Jesus, Papa, Holy Spirit. There you are. What are you wanting? Is it just your presence? What are you wanting me to know? How do I handle this? Right? How do I handle, we were talking about being led by the Spirit, right? Well, how do you think we're led by the Spirit inside? We have to get quiet in that place to receive that. And that's where all the stuff flows. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and I think even like for a while I had to take a break from even having my quiet time because now my quiet time was so religious.
Yeah.
And one of
You can make
the
anything religious. It's so sneaky.
things
It's true.
and one of the things that I do now is when I have first, it's not a checklist duty. So I'm loved whether I have one or not. And
Thank you.
second, I want to posture my heart before the Lord open-handedly.
Yes.
I don't have a bunch of crap I want to bring to him. I just want to be with him.
Yes.
And
I think
in that posture, he more times than not, he does speak, and it's awesome. And I'll go, like today, I did exactly that. And that's where I heard, go after Nicodemus. So I started
wow.
reading John 3. But it happens very organically and spirit-led and not in this, okay, now I have to read John 3 and get all the
Right,
Greek words
right,
right. And,
right.
so, yeah.
Oh, that's so good. There's so much freedom. I mean, what helps me with that is that if I'm not free not to, I'm not free to. And if I'm not free to, I'm not free not to. It's really about that freedom, right? So which takes it out of following the rules, right? Following the law, following have to's and obligation. That whole sneaky religiosity that likes to come on something. And that helps me. If I'm like, wait a second, I'm slipping into obligation, I'm slipping into have to, I'm slipping into something, but it's not, doesn't have life on it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, and I think that's what, like, one of the things I like to say is right now I have the ministry of conversation. And the fun thing about that is, so oftentimes I'll just start talking to my wife, and then all of a sudden something comes in and it's a light bulb moment. And I think one of the things I want to just share with our listeners today is there's no question off limits.
Yes.
Like God is so vast, there's nothing that's gonna ruffle his feathers. So much of what we do is talk around these questions that we've never had permission to answer.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, my wife will ask a question, like, I'll just throw this out here. Did Jesus really have to die the
Right,
way he died?
a great question.
And that question, like, kind of ticked off my Pharisee. I'm like, ooh. But let's go here. And they're like, okay. And here's a pro tip. If you feel triggered, that's an invitation to go into that.
If you feel,
Rather
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. Do you
than
feel?
if we get in conversations and we get triggered by
Oh,
something,
triggered.
rather
Yes.
than being defensive, I'm finding it very helpful that that's an indicator and a green light to go after that. Why am I being triggered by
Exactly.
that question?
Exactly. Yeah, this is, I'm all upset. I'm all anxious. I'm all whatever. Ooh, something's going on there that God wants to address. Perfect. That's so good. Yes, absolutely. Triggers are, they don't feel good, but man, they're really good if we'll handle them rightly, right? If we'll handle them rightly, we're going to get upgraded and freed up as we engage with God over that. So that's amazing. So,
Well, yeah. Oh.
no, go ahead.
Well, in the book I'm writing, I do touch on how to na navigate cognitive dissonance, because
Wow.
Most of the times, especially when we're talking, that's what's happening, is some cognitive dissonance. And knowing up until 2 years ago, I had not a freaking clue what cognitive dissonance was. And as I read into it and started, I'm like, oh, that's what's going on in my body. It's not just a thing. And now I'm learning how to navigate that and handle that so it doesn't throw me for a loop and steal my peace.
Exactly. So, do you want to elaborate on how you would define not technological, but just in your own thoughts, your own words, what you mean by cognitive dissonance? Because someone may not know what that is.
Yeah, so basically, essentially, cognitive dissonance is something that happens in the brain where it feels threatened by a security of what you are certain of, and it releases chemicals into your body. The same chemicals as if someone was to break into your house with a gun.
You feel
And
threatened, yeah, because
it
what you thought
throws us in.
was being threatened, quote unquote. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it automatically throws us into flight or fight. And when about 4 or 5 years ago, I was cussing my best friends out. I was blowing up. I was like acting crazy. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? Because, and then when I bumped into this, I'm like, oh, like just
Boom,
tons
that's
of
what was going
light
on.
bulbs.
Yeah.
Like, so it wasn't even me that I was out of control. It was stuff was actually happening in my physiological body, and I wasn't armed with the information on how to navigate that. And now I'm getting better at that. And I'm even now when because my wife is a professional conspiracy truth theorist. She's great at it. And I mean, as a couple, we challenge everything. There's not a question that is off the table. And I love our conversation, but some of her stuff is like, whoa, even to this day. And so she'll invite me into these conversations, and I can even recognize, oh, cognitive dissonance is right there.
This is
I need
happening.
to pause and then ask a couple of diagnostic questions. First, is this a fruitful conversation I need to go down?
That is good because we don't want to be in arguments, that kind of thing. Yeah. Is there fruit?
Yeah, it is the time. Second diagnostic question is the timing now?
Okay. Because sometimes there is definitely not a time to dig into these things. Yep. That's good.
Third question is this relevant to the kingdom?
Nice. Oh, I like it.
So by these three kind of, and I can maybe throw out one or two more, but those I think are really good. Those will get you started if, hey, do I need to even do this right now? Or can I reserve my energy for kingdom stuff? And then there's sometimes where it's like, okay, that's a kind of fun thought. Let's play with it a little because that's what it is. It's playful, having playful conversation about stuff that goes against what we were taught. Because, because so much of kind of my journey is realizing, like, man, there is so much about not just Christianity, but in general that we were taught that had gaping holes in it at best, or downright lies at work with, and there's permission to explore that with Holy Spirit. Because back to the whole presence thing, when we demolish Gnostic dualism, God is involved in all of our conversations,
Yeah, he
whether
really
it's about history being tampered with or the gospel being tampered with.
Yeah.
He's all there, and there's safety to ask questions and have fun.
Isn't that beautiful? Because God makes it safe to ask all the irreverent questions, question those sacred cows, so to speak. It's safe to do that because you've got God loves honest engagement with any questions that we have. That's because it's relational, and that's wonderful. Well, I can't believe we're at the top of our time. Tell us about this new work that you're working on.
Initially it was called Wrecking Ball and the Annihilation of the Western Gospel. And then even in the last probably 3 weeks, Papa kind of sat me down on his knee and said, "Have I ever had a wrecking ball in my whole?" And I'm like, "Oh."
Dang,
Oh,
okay.
so we changed the title. The working title is Western Christianity Reexamined, and really, it's gonna be a probably a 3-book series.
Wow. There's a lot to
And
re-examine. Sorry, go keep
yeah,
going.
there's a ton of reexamine, and as of right now, book one's gonna really be the what. Book two will be the why. Why do we believe what we believe? How did we get here? And three will be more of the solution and life, cultivating a lifestyle of pretty much a lot of what we talked about today. So, and then, as as an author, Holy Spirit always changes it up. So I've kind of like, I don't even know how many times that title is gonna change. So I'm I'm in conversations with Robin. I have a couple publishing options. Fingers crossed will be done then with the first draft, second draft by the end of the summer. But I'm really not in a hurry on the other hand. And so yeah.
That's
So that's
wonderful.
yeah, so I'm excited about it.
That is very exciting. So, where can people find you to engage with you? How can people find you?
Let me get my TikTok handle. I wrote it down.
I can put it in the notes. I think I have it. Let's see. While you're looking, I'm looking. We'll get
I mean,
there. Your TikTok handle, I have at Jeremy Wood 9889.
yeah, that's it. Really, my Facebook is the best place.
Best one.
I do periodically do TikTok videos and kind of want to do more of those, but I've kind of had to pick and choose what I'm doing right now. So, yeah, just primarily my Facebook page,
Yeah,
and
that's
yeah.
at Jeremy Wood. I looked it up. So
Yeah.
good. Good.
Yeah,
Wonderful.
and that channel is called Christ Center Deconstruction. I'm probably gonna at some point change that too, because I feel even in my own journey, I'm moving away from the deconstruction phase into the reconstruction
Thank you,
solution
Jesus.
phase.
Hallelujah. We need construct. It just needs to be the right one. Right. Well,
Yeah,
yeah.
I think, and I think all of us, so many of us, the common thread is reforming, and there's a reformation going on, and it's really exciting to be a part of that, a voice among thousands of voices that are saying the same thing, and we're all at the round table, and there's no hierarchy.
Yay. Thank you. How
I
refreshing.
yeah, so I love that. And that's what I loved about being the underdog was I just love that there's compared to some of your other guests, like John Crowder and Derek, they have some good, like, nice little resumes. I don't, but I get to sit at the table equally, and I love that. And it honors me because I've never experienced that in my life.
Oh.
So.
That's beautiful. Well, that honors me. And Jeremy, you have a resume. It's just not written out like other people's. Your story and what you carry in this gorgeous relationship that you have with God, it just beams through you. That's your resume. And
Yeah.
it shows up when you show up. It's just beautiful. So it has been a joy having you on.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine. I've really appreciated it. And yeah, it's been great.
Awesome. Well, everyone, someone needs to hear this, so make sure you share this. And everyone, have a great day. You take care.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Perspectives with Catherine Toon. For additional information and resources, please visit catherinetoon.com.